Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. We'll get to those twins, those fighting twins. They're just a few points below that Mendoza line. We'll see if they can get there. But
get up there to 200. Yeah.
But we're 2 days away from Timberwolves and Suns, Patrick, and I think a lot of Wolves fans are very panicked about this. What do you think about this?
I've been trying to figure out how you play two bigs against them. That would mean, do you try to use that as a strength against them? Because they play basically four guard, wingmen. Or is that not feasible today? So I was going back and saying, well, maybe they should look at old tape of Akeem and Ralph. What did they do then? Or Ralph Sampson. Or maybe, a better example would be, more successful would be McHale and Parrish, except we don't have McHale. you don't have that kind of an inside player. But here's what's interesting to try to figure out a strategy. I've always been amazed at this, and I looked it up to confirm. When the Timberwolves came back into the league in 1989, 1990, the first home game was again, and the three-point line was exactly where it is today. The first home game was against the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls shot 1 3-pointer. Michael Jordan went 1 for 1. The Timberwolves went 0 for 5. And when the Lakers came to town right before Christmas, I remember that night, it was like 400 below zero. And the Lakers were all dressed like they were going out in L.A. and freezing to death. And they shot 2. The Lakers went 0 for 2 on 3-pointers. So, the world is, since it's a completely different world. The Phoenix will shoot 40. they'll shoot 40. So it's... The strategy of playing two big guys, especially when one of them is Cat, and what Gobert is going to do. He's going to stand by the basket and try to dunk. He had a great shooting night the other day. He dunked it 12 times or something. But I don't know what you do. What do you do? I guess Alexander Walker would be your best choice to try to guard Booker, right?
Booker this season is 0-for-9 when guarded by Nikhil Alexander Walker, which is really interesting.
And you got to try to use that, but you don't have the guts not to start Cat, right? So what do you do? And I don't want Edwards guarding Booker because they're getting foul trouble too fast. So I'll have Edwards go slap Grayson Allen around or something and not let him have any shots. just remind him he's from Duke and tell him to go get him. I looked it up. Alexander Walker played 22 minutes in each of the first two games and 17 in the game here. There was a blowout. I don't know. You gotta play him more than that, don't you? You might have to play him 25 or 30.
Yeah, I think, and there's some smart people that break down like Wolves film, and there's a couple national people and local people that are way smarter than me when it comes to like, what are you looking at X's and O's wise? And the consensus is this is the one matchup of all of them in the Western Conference where you can't just be big and do what got you to get to this point, that you probably have to reduce the amount of minutes that you're playing two big men together. So what does that look like?
And it also costs, do you want it to cost Nas minutes too? When you say two big men, does Nas count as one of the big men?
Not as much as maybe a year ago, because he's more of a wing now than he is a five.
Yeah, he can play. I mean, he shoots the three I don't see him being a problem when he's out there as a big man like Cat and Gobert playing together is. And Cat, I don't know what you do. If you're really smart, there's probably a way that you can take advantage of Cat against that smaller team to punish them, but we certainly haven't seen it yet.
So. Well, but that's the thing. Like the the obvious move is put Cat in the post and let him go to work. And if they need to double him, he makes the right play, but he's not good at that. He's actually terrible at that. The stats bear it out. He either barrels in for a foul or gets up a bad shot or.
Yeah. But I was wondering, is there any hope to play the old double post, put one guy on each side of the lane and play it like you did with George Mikan and Vern Mikkelsen, you know, just try to muscle them inside with 2 7-footers and, try some old time power basketball but it's because of the 3-pointer, that's not feasible anymore.
The math becomes hard. I think Kat was asked yesterday at shoot around or practice just about, hey, are you guys going to be able to play big? And even he said, we've got a bunch of things that we're talking about. He referenced maybe a different starting lineup.
Does that mean?
Because to me, a different starting lineup would have to be minus one of the big men and put N'Keal Alexander-Walker in.
I think they start
the series with their normal five, and then they have a quick plan B at some point.
Yes, if the first time they come down, they got to guard Ed Allen too. You can't let him. You can't be so crazed about trying to halt Booker. Booker's one of the five best players in the league, I think. I love that guy. And you can't be so crazed about trying to stop him. You let Allen shoot wide open threes because that's, he makes them. And he's a 40% 3-point shooter. So I don't know, people get sick of hearing it, but unless you can take some advantage of your height against them, then you got to try to beat them at their game. And that's going to be really tough because now that Bradley Beal has decided it's okay to play and, to get in the lineup, how many games did he miss this year? 30 or something like that.
Yeah, but he is, think about that. He is a multiple times, I think like 2 or 3 times, he's averaged 30 points a game on bad teams, albeit. But they've got this 30-point scorer that's just like tucked away as their third guy.
Well, they blew him out by 100 on Sunday, and Durant didn't do anything, Then now it's the playoffs, and I saw something in the paper today about his numbers in the playoffs are like ungodly.
It is. He's led the playoffs in scoring 4 different times, and then he also averaged 34 points in a playoff stretch that didn't lead the league in scoring. Yeah.
And the thing about him is he knows how to rest during the season. He's not wearing himself out until the playoffs start. So, they got a big problem. And again, if it doesn't work out, people are going to say, well, this didn't work. Then the Gobert and the playing two bigs and stuff. Well, you got the wrong team. You're playing the wrong team. And Phoenix, I bring this up again. Phoenix was the third choice in betting to win the NBA title when the season started.
Yeah.
They were 6-1. They were because they had Beal, and they had a disappointing regular season, but they're still that team. They're still that team that was the third choice. As I said the other day, they were 6-1. The Wolves were 66-1 to win the NBA title when this all started. So,
yeah. And I think the Suns are definitely still that team when they're fully assembled. The Wolves are definitely better than the 66-1, are they the 6-1 that people thought the Suns would be? I don't know.
I don't know, but it'll be it's very intriguing to say the least. It's kind of you wish you were playing New Orleans without Zion.
How about that? Of course.
100%. What were the odds of him getting hurt? 100%. Those were the odds.
Meanwhile, by the way, last night, both Joel Embiid is just trying to play from the previous injury,
he's playing on one leg and he's still fantastic.
Yeah. And Jimmy Butler may have torn his MCL in that game last night.
Yeah. Now does Miami has the game with Chicago then, huh?
The second Miami game.
Butler didn't do anything for them. And Chicago, has got some talent. They just underachieved for about 5 years now, but they have some talent, but they might go in as the They might go in as the eighth seed. And that arena last night, I was watching some of the Chicago game. They were crazy.
They were.
This playing thing has been genius. I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. It's been genius, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, and the Warriors are out. You know, you never know. It's one game, and you can just Klay Thompson can just go 0-10, and your season's and over.
Sacramento was playing without Monk and without one of their other good. They were playing without two of their really good players. Yeah. Although I love Fox, I think Fox is one of the three or four best guards in the league. He's tremendous. So
we're going to get this. The only dud series in the West is like Oklahoma City versus whoever wins on Friday night. Mm-hmm. But we're getting Lakers Nuggets in the first round.
Yes,
we're getting now Clippers may or may not have shocker Kawhi Leonard available for game one, but we're getting Clippers Mavericks and then Timberwolves Suns. That's a hell of a first round slate of matchups.
Yes, it is. And this would be fun. And if it doesn't work out, that's, it's still been a hell of a year. I mean, I hate to throw that. It's been a hell of a year, but
you're kind of right though.
Yeah. What was the over and under on this team? 45,
46 or something.
Yeah. Something like that. So they won 10 more games than they're supposed to, which is pretty good. But, I was thinking, by the way, Ant's going to be on the Olympic team, and they got Steph going. And they got LeBron going. It's kind of like Steph had never played on it. And some of these, but it's kind of like they're trying to redo the Dream Team, with all the old guys are going to be there for one last time. Well, when the old guys went to Barcelona, they spent a week in Monte Carlo practicing, allegedly. That's what they had to do to get them to go there. I'm a little worried about the Ant in Monte Carlo in the middle of summer. I think we should have some people helping them around town and observing behavior, because turn this collection loose in Monte Carlo in the summer, just like they did the. They had Charles and those guys. That was bad enough, but I don't know. I'm a little worried about the
end. Yeah, just make sure we got chaperones, make sure. I think LeBron's a good chaperone. LeBron's been in the league in the spotlight for 20 years. He's never had anything really go sideways.
No, never had any
Steph Curry, same way.
And stuff. Yeah, Steph is – they'll be okay. But
are those like the two squeaky, cleanest uber celebrity athletes in our lifetimes? Like, what's the worst thing that you can say about LeBron and LeBron? It's like, you went on TV one time and left Cleveland,
Yes, and the other thing you can say is he kind of gave up that one playoff game and then, just didn't take any shots. And then, and also the fact that he, the one I remember is when the kid dunked off him over him in that pickup game, and he made sure he got all the videos so nobody didn't want it put up. So I think his ego was, much more massive than he's become the statesman now. There's nothing to complain. He gives away incredible amounts of money. Now you can get on him because of his China. He's tied in with the China for a lot of his advertising. But
what
the heck? That's he doesn't play on Live, so that's we don't have that hold of him. We don't have that hold of him. Yeah, it is. But it is interesting. He called up Steph and says, "If you're going, I'm going. Let's go. Yeah. Let's have a little, one last time shoot around here."
Speaking of Liv, by the way, we'll get the Twins. I know Declan put the Twins to bed to some extent yesterday, so we'll get the Twins. But it is hilarious how the Masters and CBS colluded to basically show as little as possible of the. Like Dustin Johnson finished about plus 13, but you saw him once.
I saw him all weekend.
Cam Smith was like contending all weekend, and you saw three putts from Cam Smith.
Right on the last day of your show, they said, "Well, we better show Cam Smith here in case he pops up and wins this damn thing."
Yeah, I saw one Phil Mickelson shot in like seven hours of watching.
Yeah, he saw 300 of Tigers, and Phil last year didn't he finish second or something?
Yeah, he went on a run.
Yeah.
He finished it. It was unbelievably noticeable. I remember I watched quite a bit Saturday and damn near all of it Sunday, and I said, did Dustin Johnson play? Didn't we? Don't we get the ceremonial walk up 18 and have him wave to everybody? He made the cut, right? Didn't he make the cut?
I think he made the cut. He definitely had a really bad round in there somewhere and was like plus 10.
Did anybody see Koepka?
Very briefly.
He made the cut too, right? Was he the runner up last year? Last year he was. You know, he led. They had no choice last year. He was the 12th hole on the last day or something.
But even DeChambeau, who was, was in the mix. The minute DeChambeau had like a double bogey on Sunday, they're like, okay, we don't have to show him anymore.
Yeah, we don't have to. It was made. It was amazing. It's, CBS is tied in with the tour. And they got some director who tells them what shots to make. And the director's got somebody from the Masters who's tied in with the tour whispering in his ear, don't show that. I mean, DeChambeau's over there in the, hit some godforsaken place on 15 there over in the right. And that would have, they would have been breaking that down for days if it would have been, normal. But you're right. The anti-lib was very obvious. So,
yep. So, well. The Twins, everybody. How we feel?
193. That's I tweeted this out. The Mendoza line was created for when the Sunday papers used to run the National League and the American League, all qualified, certain newspapers, all qualified on Sunday. They would run the stats from about Thursday because it was, like the stats through Wednesday's game or something. And they'd run the stats in order, from the leading hitter to the, you had to be 3.1 at bats, was to qualify. But somebody came up with the very humorous thing. I don't know who, but Mario Mendoza was an infielder who played, I think, for Seattle all the time, right? Long time for Seattle, somebody else. And he'd always hit 200. So actually, he had 215 for his career. I looked it up. But the Mendoza line became 200, and it became so famous that players would, God almighty, I'm hitting below the Mendoza line for years. Yeah. They'd say that early in the season. And now we got a team hitting below the Mendoza line. And the Mighty Whiteys pulled away from us yesterday because they had several hits. Going into yesterday, the Whiteys were hitting 196 and the Twins were hitting 195. But I think that I don't know where the Whiteys won a game yesterday.
The Twins are, I looked it up before the show here, the Twins are in last place in batting
average. 193.
It's bad. It's all across the board.
That was their strength. That was the strength. We really like this lineup. Although you got, and we said this yesterday, the other day, the best part of your team is the left side of the infield, and neither of them is there. So,
yeah. Well, and you were some of the
stiff.
Well, some of it too, Pat, was Matt Wallner had a great year last year, and he's going to be in the lineup, and you're going to get a full season of him. Well, it took two and a half weeks.
The all new Kep. Somehow we decided the Kep of the last 3.5 years didn't count. It was the Kep of the last 2.5 months last year that counted, right? We forgot that he'd been a stiff for about 3.5 years. So
it's true.
It's they're sending him to Indianapolis to get the, he's going to be back in the lineup though. But I don't know, boy, if they can't hit, they got no chance because that was going to be your strength. So.
Yeah, they got to go 84-61 to get to 90. I don't know if 90 wins is what you might be able to clock in around 86 wins for this division when it's all said and done. But yeah, they got to pick up the pace here pretty quick.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's I think the ramp will be full Saturday, but that'll be because of the basketball game, not the baseball game.
Correct. So. Correct. Yeah, that's going to be brutal.
The upper deck is closed, and I don't think that'll cause claustrophobia downstairs there, man.
And not great weather either. I mean, this weather, it's not this is not a good weekend to go see a ball game outside.
Is it going to rain or just be cool?
Saturday, I think there's rain in the forecast. I know one of the days, I believe, I think there's rain in the forecast, but at 40s, 50s, like not anything ideal for watching baseball. And then bad baseball.
I'm looking at my lawn. It couldn't be any greener. I kind of like the brown. I told the guy to touch my lawn. He didn't have to come for 2 weeks. Now I need him tomorrow. You know, it's that gully washer, man. The sump pump downstairs is roaring. Man, where'd all this? What happened? That really upsets the meteorologists, though. They can't tell us about the drought, right? Because we had the big spring. They were gonna, because of no snow this year, we were gonna really get drought. You know, because I'm a pro drought guy, as you know. So
You don't have to mow your lawn.
You don't have to mow lawn. Go to, you know, the ball game's going to be played. It's great.
But it's not too bad. We got bottled water. You know, whatever we can.
Not good for the corn, but you know, I don't eat that much sweet corn.
That's okay. Yeah, we can just order. Right. Just order Uber Eats. Order something else. I don't know.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right, Jets. Well,
all right, Pat.
I'm looking forward to Saturday to see how I'm going over to their access today. I don't expect to learn any secrets.
Are you going? You going to go to game one or game two?
I'm going to two for sure, but I don't know what our one. They don't need my wit and wisdom off game one. So I don't know
about it. Judd and I will see you in the media area. We'll share some snacks.
Okay. We see you later.
All right. See you, Pat. We'll talk to Pat again tomorrow. Royce, by the way, Judd's internet took a hiccup there, so he's. He's coming in studio. That's people wondering, where'd Judd go?
Where'd Judd go?
Yeah. He disappeared into the internet ether. See you guys.